My guest at this time is Tennessee Representative Marsha Blackburn. She represents the Volunteer State's 7th Congressional District, and she is also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. We wanted to get her insights as the House on Friday easily passed, once again, authorization to build the Keystone XL pipeline. It's expected to get the votes necessary in the U.S. Senate as well, but the president once again promising a veto. And Congressman, thanks very much for your time today.
It's so good to be with you, and thanks for having me on.
A pretty solid bipartisan vote, obviously more Republicans than Democrats, but it got up to 266 votes in the House of Representatives, so a very solid majority. What do you believe is the biggest reason this is at the top of the Republican agenda? What does this do both energy-wise and economically that makes this a no-brainer, as most Republicans seem to couch this?
Right, and there are a few simple answers to that. Number one is it does increase the nation's oil supply, and it moves us further along the path to energy independence. That's a goal that we all share and are working toward. Another thing that it does is the jobs. 20,000 jobs will be created by the pipeline. So what you're doing is putting more jobs out there for individuals. You know, look at the Teamsters alone and the number of jobs they estimate that they will have to link pipes into these work sites. The third thing is that you reduce the cost of doing business because you are aiding our nation's energy security policies, which give businesses that deal in logistics and transportation or packaging with plastics and polymers, both which come from crude oil, you give them a more solid and predictable foundation that they can do their pricing on, and a lack of certainty has driven some of those companies out of business, and what they're looking for is certainty and predictability right now.
Congressman, as you know, the president has promised to veto this. He said so several times now, but his argument basically falls along a couple different lines. Number one, he says it's Canadian oil, not American oil, that will be sent through this pipeline to the Gulf Coast. And even after it's refined, a lot of it would just be shipped out. It wouldn't necessarily be used as supply in the United States. He also says permanent jobs wouldn't be that high, although there would be obviously be a lot of temporary jobs with the construction of the pipeline. What are your rebuttals to those arguments?
Well, let's take them one at a time. You know, yes, it is Canadian oil, but it's coming into our ports to be refined. What it will help do is to get down the cost of oil and also the ready supply for our businesses. I think it would be a very good thing for us to do additional R&D with crude and polymers and items that can come from that. I think it would be a very good thing for us to move back to the point that we have not only crude but refined products that we are able to export and to ship, and to help our allies. My goodness, a great example of that is what's happened in Europe and how they have had to depend on Russia. Look what Russia's done to them. Wouldn't we like for our allies to be able to do business with us? It's short-sighted not to want that. It comes down to the president is out of excuses. After the Nebraska Supreme Court sided with the pipeline, the president's run out of excuses, and it's time for him to sign this. As you said, it has wide bipartisan support in the House.
Well, it did. And, of course, as you mentioned, there's multiple labor unions behind this plan as well because of the jobs that would be created in construction. You referred to the Nebraska decision that came out late last week, removing most likely the last environmental hurdle in terms of where the pipeline would go. The State Department has given the green light to this. So you said the president's out of excuses. Still, he opposes it, though. What do you think is the real reason he's still not ready to get behind us?
I think it has to do with his friends who are active in the environmental community that want it. They've invested heavily in alternative energy sources, primarily wind and solar. But the thing is that, you know, that doesn't work in every state in the country. Wind and solar is not predictable. It's a very small part of our nation's energy supply, and it's not something that is going to be readily available and useful for transportation fuel.
So what ultimately happens here? Does this end in frustration for supporters of Keystone, assuming the president doesn't change his mind, or are there other avenues here if this legislation
doesn't get the job done? I think what you would see is we have the ability to override a veto if he moves forward with the veto, and we're all looking forward to the Senate vote.
And we'll certainly be watching that as well. Last topic real quickly for you here, Congressman. As you know, there's a big fight over funding the highway transit fund. It's kind of low right now, and some talk has popped up on Capitol Hill about possibly raising the federal gas tax since the price of gasoline has dropped here in the past several months. So where do you stand on that, and what's your approach to replenishing that money?
I am completely opposed to raising the gas tax. It's the wrong step. What you need to do is clean up what the Transportation Trust Fund is used for. And right now it is going to passive parks and bike paths and museums and you name it. There's about 30% of that fund that is used for, that has other uses. My goodness, let's clean it up. So I think it's time for us to just clean that up.
And Congressman, it sounds like it's time for you to go. So thank you very much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tennessee Congressman Marsha Blackman represents her state's 7th Congressional District, member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.